Healing the complex hurts of those around us is a lot easier when we observe a few key teachings from the book of Romans. Paul the Apostle knew that the race of life would be hard. He taught that the body of Christ, the church, can be a place of healing for those in emotional pain. Do you long for respite from the hurts in your life that won't go away? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is on finding community within the church, and today's message is on finding community in suffering. Erwin Lutzer comes now with today's first key principle.
We're to accept one another. In Rome, they were having a dispute about whether or not they could eat this meat that had been offered to idols, and some people said yes and some said no. Paul said, look, it's a matter of conscience. If you think it's sin, then don't, because for you it's sin. If you don't think it's sin, it's fine, because this is one of those matters that is neither right nor wrong as such. But what Paul was saying is, accept one another. And then he says, accept one another as Jesus accepts you. What a challenge. What does that involve? First of all, respect. We respect one another. There are parents who are listening to this message who love their children. I really do believe they love their children, but they do not respect their children. And it really shows. And the children grow up resenting the love because it's not combined with respect. Respect means that we are willing to validate people. You know, here at the Moody Church, you can park in a parking lot, and generally you can go to the information desk and you can get it validated. If not, you're paying for it. But you get that sticker that validates it, and from now on, it has value. You can go through, and the attendant will accept it, and you won't have to pay. Value has been conferred upon it. That's our responsibility as members of the body of Jesus Christ, to confer value on one another and to say that you are valuable to God and you are valuable to me. And you know that you are valuable to God because you are also valuable to the body of Jesus Christ. Someone has said that the hurting heart needs someone who will honor its story and its pain. When I come here Sunday morning very early, I often look in my mailbox, and I found a letter there today that I didn't even have time to read yet, but it's a story of abuse. And if I remember correctly, the woman says, I'm not expecting anything from you except please listen to my story. She was saying, honor my story. Please understand what I've been through. That's part of the acceptance process. That's part of honoring people and giving them validity and saying, yes, I understand your story and I care about your story. How do we begin to be people who can mourn with those who mourn and in the process experience healing? First of all, we need to accept one another. Now listen carefully. There's some of you who can't accept others because you are shut down emotionally because of grudges and anger in your heart. Could I say to you, just get rid of it and move on? I don't know who has hurt you. Sometimes within the church, it's the pastor who hurts people. Sometimes it may be staff members, it may be elders, it may be a parent, it may be a relative. Somewhere, someplace, somebody has damaged your soul. And as a result of that, you say to yourself, I can't move on. I plead with you today, move on. Let it go. And get on with the business of walking with God and accepting one another with all of our faults and with all of our limitations, to accept one another as Christ has accepted us. That's the standard. That means that we accept one another regardless of their color, regardless of their ethnic or racial background. We accept one another regardless of their size, regardless of their limitations, their disabilities. We accept one another regardless of their shape. You know, some people are very sensitive about their shape because people do come in different sizes and shapes. But what we say to one another is, you're valuable as a person. When we come to church, the first thing that we should be thinking about is worshiping God. But as part of that worship, what we need to do is to develop an atmosphere in which people have this sense of acceptance and they have been touched meaningfully by someone who cares about them, and they know that there's that ability to connect. People say, what is your vision for Moody Church? Well, there are many visions that I have. Today I'm speaking on a vision internally. Next week I'm going to speak about a vision beyond our walls. But today it's the internal vision. It is to be a caring, connected community. And the text says, accept one another as Christ accepted you. Whether we've always shown it or not, I want to say to you today, you are valuable to God, and you're valuable to us as members of the body. Let no one leave here today without sensing that very deeply. Second, the Apostle Paul goes and says in chapter 15, verse 1, bear with one another. Ye who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak. Now we begin to talk more about what it means to mourn with those who mourn. We begin to bear with one another. That means that we need to listen to one another. I know that that's difficult. No doubt I've often failed in that. You know, we've all had the experience of someone, of asking someone what time it is, and he gives us a lecture on the history of clockmaking in Europe. And we say to ourselves, you know, this story is getting too long. But people need to tell their stories. And that eye contact is very important. I know people can say, well, Pastor Lutzer, you can talk to me and I can continue to work on my Palm Pilot because I can do two things at once. And there are people who can do two or three things at once. I personally cannot pace the floor and chew gum simultaneously. But there are some people who can do all those things. And yet it diminishes us, doesn't it, if a person doesn't make that personal connection and say, I'm listening to you. Now notice what it says, we who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. That means sacrifice with people who sometimes seem to be so weak and so needy. There's a woman whose name, I believe, is Liz Curtis. I think she's the author of that book, Bad Women in the Bible. My wife and I were at a conference and we heard her speak. And she talked about what it was like to be in the pit. Now, what's it like in the pit? That's the pit of drugs and sex and drink. She was in that pit. And she talked about different kinds of Christians she met when she was in the pit. And she didn't give them names, but I'm going to give them names, and I'm only paraphrasing because I'm doing it by memory. First of all, she said there was the judgmentalist. The judgmentalist looked over the rim of the pit and said, well, you know, we all make our own choices. And you know, you made these choices and you have to take responsibility for them. And if this is the kind of life you want to live, then go ahead and live it. I'm sure that at some point, you know, you had a high school teacher who told you not to get into drugs. So what did you do it for? Life is tough. That's the judgmentalist. Then we have the moralist. The moralist says, oh, you're in the pit? Oh, you can get out. Really, I have confidence in you. Take a step, one step at a time. You can get out of that pit. Oh, I notice you're trying to take a step, and each time you do, you sink a little deeper. But I think that you can do it. Just want you to know that if you keep working, you'll be able to be like me. Really? And then there's the real spiritual superficialist. That's my word. They say, oh, you're in the pit. Oh, Jesus delivers people out of the pit. Oh, yeah, Jesus. You know, there are many stories of Jesus delivering people out of the pit. I'll pray for you. Dear Jesus, please deliver so-and-so out of the pit. Amen. Now, I wonder, what time is my bowling game anyway? The Bible says, you bear the infirmities of the weak. What that means is we tell the people who are in the pit that Jesus came into the pit to rescue them. And then we say that what we're going to do is we're going to give you a hand and we're going to be the hand of Jesus to help you out. And those who bear burdens have to be very, very careful at this point because there is that that balance between helping people and withdrawing from people, because there are some people who, if you take one step in their direction, they will suck the very life out of you. They'll demand so much it'll be impossible for you to live up to their expectations, and then they'll turn around and be disappointed and say, you see, you're just like all the other Christians, you don't really love. So there's that balance that we have to have. But the Bible says that we have to bear the infirmities, the weaknesses of those who are weak. And when any one of us is weak, and there are times when I am weak, and there are times when you are weak, we need those around us to support us with prayer and with connections and with the ability to be able to respond to where our need is, so that in the process we feel that we're being carried along. Here at Moody Church, I hope that if your life comes apart, we as a church will help you to stay together and to put your life back together. The body has the strength to do that. Pastoral staff can't do it all. Elders can't do it all. We do some of it. We're all doing our part. But there are people who are sitting in the balconies today, and some of you who are sitting here, who can tremendously touch the lives of others by bearing the infirmities of the weak and accepting one another. Notice third, the Apostle Paul speaks about prayer. And I'll not comment too much on this. We'll give you an opportunity to know how to pray. But notice in verse 30 of chapter 15, he says, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle to God by praying for me. Other translations say, and I like them better, that we should strive together in our prayers. Paul says, strive together with me in prayer. That's what we're called to do. We're called as a caring community to pray for one another. We know one another's needs. We know the lay of the land. We know what they're going through. We experience some of the hurt that they are experiencing. Because they are hurt, we grieve. We weep with them because they are weeping. And in the process, we are lifting our hearts to God. And God keeps unifying us. And God keeps bringing us together. It's the power of community. Pastor Milko was sharing with some of us that in the refugee camp, there are students who get to go out of the refugee camp to the city and go to the university, where their conditions are so much better. They have a place to stay there, and they're not starving. And yet they'll come back to the camp because of community. That's where their relatives are. That's where their friends are. It's the power of this connectedness that brings people together. And in the case of believers, they strive together in prayer, and God begins to meet them at these deep levels. And for some of us who haven't cried for a long time or shown emotions for a long time, in the process, you see, of accepting and bearing and praying, God begins to open us up, and we begin to give our lives to others so that they too may be blessed and helped. You know, one of the problems with people who want to give comfort is that if they do not do it with feeling, if it is superficial, it can hurt so much, because there's been no praying and no bearing and no accepting.
The power of someone else's prayer when you can't pray is one of the reasons why the body of Christ is so vital when times of suffering come. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has brought part two of Finding Community in Suffering. It's the third in a four-part series of messages on finding community within the church. Tomorrow, join us for more on the body of Christ as a place of healing. Finding Community Within the Church can be yours on CD. All four messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.